Yo, what's going on, wrestling community, wrestling universe? Your boy TK from the Wrestling Index podcast is back. And damn, I miss talking to you guys. It's been about 2 weeks since I hopped on the horn. Super busy with life, relaunching a website right now. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, in that busyness, last week, last Wednesday, we went to AEW Dynamite and we're live on the floor. Three rows out from ringside, and it was fucking amazing. I went with my wife. She's a huge AEW mark. She won't even watch WWE anymore. She's fucking crazy, man. I love it all. I don't know what the fuck her problem is. Just kidding, babe. I love you if you're listening to this. Doubt you will, though, but I love you. And I went with my guy, Gary, Gary Schweder, and you can find him at Deuce McHenry on Twitter. And he will have his, he's actually did like a video blog, a vlog, I guess, as the kids call him, of the whole time while we were there. So that should be dropping soon. That'll be a lot of fun. You know, him and I went, we saw Kip Sabian. He had his box on his head during the AEW Dark tapings. So that was cool. That's a part of it. And then he kind of just like vlogged us around the arena and, you know, pregame and in the vehicle, and we did a little prediction show for the show. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, the show itself, it was decent. It wasn't the best show that I've been to, but I guess I've been spoiled lately with Punk's debut and then, you know, Punk's first Dynamite and then All Out. So I guess we were spoiled with that like string of shows in a row. It's not that this show was bad. It was fine. It was a solid show. Punk and MJF was awesome. I mean, that was everything that you want to see in a wrestling match. And, you know, going to a wrestling show is just a blast in its own. You know, hanging out with my wife and Gary, doing a little pregame, you know, knocking down some beers before going in there, getting inside, having a couple beers, you know, just chucking it up with the fans. I got to give a shout out to, you know, super fan Christine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. Her name on Twitter is Shining Polaris. She's all over the place. She is, you know, the ultimate wrestling fan. So it was cool to meet her. Ironically, that morning, the wife and I thought we were going to Hoffman Estates. The show ended up being in Chicago at the Wintrust Arena. Now, we went in a fucking snowstorm. We got like 8 inches of snow. The roads were horrible, but we weren't missing this shit. No fucking way. So we manned up. We went. And then Christine was like, I'm going to go downtown and hang out down there all day. And I seen that and I was like, why would she do that if the show's in Hoffman? And we Googled, we're like, oh, fuck. The Wintrust Arena is actually in Chicago. We thought that was the new name of the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates. And that's where they always have their shows. But I digress. I'm glad we found that fucking out in the morning. Thanks, Christine, again for that. But it was super cool because she actually ended up sitting one row in front of us. So we got to talk, you know, during the show. She got a part of Gary's little video vlog that he was doing. So that was really cool. It was cool to meet her, and it's always cool to meet other wrestling fans at these shows, which makes them a lot of fun. And I guess, you know, let's get into the show itself. We were sitting third row, kitty corner, right side of the hard cam. So we got on the TV a couple of times, which was cool. The show was starting off with Mox. You know, we had a feeling it was going to start with Mox. And Mox came down right fucking where we were sitting. So that was like fucking awesome. So I was like, yo, like we were on end seats and we were sitting. We kept like switching for who would sit on the end because you had a better chance of being on TV. And ultimately, you're more comfortable. You're getting the fucking hang off on the edge, obviously. So then Mox was coming out and we're like, oh, fucking yeah, dude. Let's do this shit. And then, you know, wild thing hits. I'm fucking, my fist is sitting out there. You can see it on TV. You can see me. You can see Gary both trying to get fist bumps. Mox didn't do any fist bumps or anything with people on our side. At least I don't know what he did on the backside. He kind of came down and did a T when he was finishing up that T before entering the ring. You know, he walked right by us, which is fucking awesome. And then, you know, he was wrestling Wheeler Yuta. The last time these two guys fought, Mox, it was just a quick squash. It was like less than 30 seconds. Mox just fucking destroyed him. And this match was, it was good. It went like 10 minutes. Gave Wheeler Yuta a really nice showing. But the thing about this match, the best part was that we're furthering the story with Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson. So after the match, Bryan came out. he confronted Mox. Brian actually came from the crowd right on the side of us as well. Just like maybe 8 to 10 rows over to the right. So like fucking people were just popping from the crowd left and right. And because Dante Martin had did it on the dark taping. So, you know, that's another story. But Brian got in the ring. Brian talks to Mox. You know, we're all thinking Brian and Mox are going to be feuding. We're about to get into this fucking have this match coming up at Revolution. But instead, Brian fucking turns the tables and he tells Mox that he loves this version of him that he's seen since he's been back. I think he meant like since he's been to AEW. And that additionally, he wants to form a stable with Mox. And I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean you want to form a stable with Mox? And he's like, I want to fucking form a stable with you. I see all this young talent around this company being underutilized. And then he specifically mentioned Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta. And he said, just imagine if they weren't running around with clowns like Orange Cassidy, what in 2.0, if they're running around with Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson and John Moxley, what that they'd be able to do. And I'm fucking sitting there and I'm just fucking getting chubbed up at this point. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Just the thought of one, these guys being in a stable together, these two guys, and then two, fucking taking guys under their wings and developing this young, bright talent. Oh, fuck yeah. And Brian went further to say, like, look at the fucking champions in this company. You got a fucking cowboy who's a clown. You got fucking a dinosaur. You got, yeah, I think he just fucking hit on those two. And you got, you got a guy who does a vlog, Gary, a fucking vlog. So he says, these are your champions. What are they doing? And he suggests that they team together and they start something going. And I'm really fucking excited to see where this goes. I'd love if they fucking put this faction together. I'd love it. I think that the two of them together with these kids would be fucking awesome. You don't even have to have them heel or face. You can fucking just have them tweener and then they can just feud with whoever, depending upon whether they're, you know, their opponents are heel or face. I love it. I think that would be fucking fantastic. Or if Mox just tells Brian to fuck himself. But I think I'd want to see Brian still take these kids under his wing and start his own stable, because we're going to get the Inner Circle breaking up, which is perfectly fine with me, that they've run their course. And I want to see Santana and Ortiz get their title shots, which are long fucking overdue. But Brian and Mox one-on-one. Yes, please. Yes, please. Won't be disappointed. Brian and Mox leading a stable of Wheeler Yuta, Lee Moriarty, Lee Johnson, Daniel Garcia. Yes, fucking please. Sign me the fuck up. Get Dante Martin in there. Get him taken seriously. Get fucking maybe Powerhouse Hobbs out of Team Taz. Like, let's go, baby. The future is fucking limitless with that right there. And, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And we'll talk about that next week as more progresses with the story. So Mox beat Wheeler Yuta. We got the Mox and Brian promo. Then fucking Brandi Rhodes comes out to just a course of booze. She calls Chicago Cleveland, which she was just trying to get cheap heat for. You don't fucking need cheap heat in Chicago, Brandi. Nobody likes you. Stay backstage, do what you do. I like what she does. You know, the charity work she does, how she, you know, empowers women. She's great. Keep her backstage. We don't need to see Brandi Rhodes fucking wrestling. It's that simple. But what makes it even more weird is the fact that she's going to be trying to portray a face now, because Dan Lambert comes out, shits all over her, says he's a racist, sexist, homophobic piece of shit. He's going to be canceled sooner than later. So like, we're trying to get heel heat on Lambert and take it off of Brandi, but that's not going to fucking work. At the end of the day, Ethan Page was in the ring with Scorpio Sky and Dan Lambert. I'm not exactly sure where this story is going. It's a story that I don't give a fuck to know where it's going. It's going to lead to some sort of mixed tag match, I would assume, because Paige Van Zandt came out in Dan Lambert's stead and, you know, went at Brandi, and the AEW women's locker room came out and broke them apart. So it's just a fucking weird feud, because they're all supposed to be coming off these heels. Like, who the fuck do we give a fuck about? And it's not like a cool heel versus, it's not like a cool heel versus a fucking like a Dan Lambert type fucking heel. It's just two stupid fucking heels no one gives a shit about, you know, and I'll just put it like that. And I hope to never see Brandi Rhodes on my TV again. And I hope Paige VanZant fucking kills her if they actually wrestle, because I have no believability in the world. And I know wrestling, you know, you're supposed to take your head out of it. You're supposed to suspend your believability, which is why Rey Mysterio could beat a Kevin Nash. But I have no belief in the fucking world that Brandi can beat Paige VanZant in a wrestling match. So why the fuck even do it? So if you're going to mix tag it at this point, haven't Cody already feuded fucking with these guys, with Paige and Sky? So I don't fucking know, man. I don't know what they're doing. I've just spent way too much time talking about it, in all honesty. You get the promo with the Hardy family office again. You know, I'm fucking Andrade doing this thing with the Hardys. You're with Matt Hardy is fucking stupid. There's absolutely no reason that he's being so fucking wasted in this, man. Andrade is so good in the ring. He's such a good character. Just let him fucking work, man. Get him out of this Hardy family fucking office thing. I know they fucking did this Hardy family off, or this Andrade buyout of Matt Hardy, because Jeff's eventually coming and Matt and Jeff are going to fucking be whatever they are. And then Andrade will take over the HFO. Who gives a fuck about the HFO? Just let Butcher and Blade go do their thing with Bunny, and then fucking let Private Party go do their thing. There you go. The HFO is no fucking more. Who gives a shit about it? All of them go their own ways, man. If Andrade was quote unquote leading anybody, I'd rather fucking see him with Penta and Phoenix. And that leads me into the next match, which was Malakai Black and Brody King taking on Pac and Penta. All four of these guys were over. It was a really good match. I didn't expect anything else. I expected an awesome match. If the match actually happened, Black kind of teased the third member joining them on the show. And I thought that Pac was for sure going to be the guy. And it wasn't. They teased his blindness for a second due to the mist, you know, over the past month. Pac's been playing blind, and Alex walked him into the ring, and then Pac basically just took his blindfold off and said, fuck you, I'm fine. I would have rather preferred they were both all in the ring, and then Pac, Black, and Brody just beat the shit out of Penta. And then, you know, Penta goes away for a little bit, and then when Phoenix comes back from his injury, you can bring them back together. You could even have Andrade with them. Andrade can go fuck off. You can bring someone else in with them, and then you could feud right there. You could have Black, Brody, and Pac against Penta, Phoenix, and whoever their third partner is, which again could very easily be Andrade, or it could be Eddie Kingston, who's leading, you know, them and Santana and Ortiz. And then you got Santana and Ortiz could go feud with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, get their tag titles. And then, boom, you can have Eddie and Santana and Ortiz turn on the Lucha Brothers down the road. And that sets up that tag team feud. I mean, come on, man. Come on, TK. Hire this TK. Let's go. All right, I'll help you book this shit and get back on track. Because as much as I love AEW, the wheels are definitely fucking falling off the track. Way too much talent, and they're not getting fucking on TV enough. And, you know, that's me who's saying this shit. I just call it as I see it. You know, I've bashed WWE for a long time for the same exact problem. And now AEW is doing the exact same shit. Like, where the fuck's Miro? Why isn't Miro on my fucking TV? Why is Miro training dudes and Miro isn't on my fucking TV? He was a dominant TNT champion. He was so great. And now he just isn't on my TV. Like, what the fuck, dude? I digress, man. I digress. Next match, Adam Cole cut a quick promo about how he's still undefeated. You know, whatever. It is what it is. That's what they did last year with Britt and Thunder Rosa with the unsanctioned match, and it worked. I feel like Adam Cole's going to be the guy to get the next match against Hangman Page. I don't know if he's going to beat him, so that's really exciting stuff. But he'll wrestle Evil Uno on Rampage. I'll talk about Rampage 2 because, you know, obviously I was there for that. Ruby Soho, Nyla Rose. It was a good match. The crowd was pretty into it. I fully expected Nyla to get the win because Ruby beat her in the TBS title tournament. And now we're going one-on-one, or, you know, now the records would be one-on-one. We'll eventually get that third match. Some people are hating on the match because Ruby botched one of the moves in the corner, but it's wrestling, man. You're not going to fucking get every move right, man. People got to fucking calm down with that shit. You know, people bitch that it's scripted, over scripted, and then bitch when people botch a move. I mean, fucking, if they're doing 500 moves in a match, of course they're not going to land every fucking move. And then next, yeah, we get okay, yeah, we get one more segment with Hangman Adam Page. And yeah, we get one more segment with Adam Hangman Page, and then we get fucking Dan Lambert again, who comes out with Lance Archer. I'm not exactly too sure why the fuck we need Dan Lambert coming out with Lance Archer when Dan Lambert was just fucking on the screen and Jake the Snake was there on the mic too. So why, that's like fucking overkill times 20. Like, why the fuck do we need Jake the Snake and Dan Lambert talking for Lance? It's crazy. I guess if you're gonna put Lance with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, I get it. But otherwise, it's fucking stupid to have Lambert representing Lance. That should have just been like a one-off thing, if fucking anything, because it really wasn't needed. But Lance comes out, Lance and Hangman scrap. Lance eventually puts Hangman through the table. We got Hangman and Lance next week in a Texas death match. That'll be a lot of fun. I fully expect Hangman to hold on to his title. It's always nice to see Lance, though, being involved in good storylines. And then we go to Chris Jericho calls out Santana and Ortiz. Again, I don't really care about this beef. I want Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie just to attack Jericho, let them go their way. I want Eddie to go full heel with this. I want Santana and Ortiz to do it as well. I want Santana and Ortiz to take those tag titles from Jungle Express. I feel like Jungle Express cut the line. Like, Santana and Ortiz should have beat FTR, and they should have won and got those tag team titles from the Lucha Brothers. So let this story progress. Jericho, Eddie at Revolution, that's fine. And then let's get Santana and Ortiz into that tag team title picture. Fucking please. And then we get the main event. It's like 8:13. I'm checking my watch and I'm like, holy shit, I hear MJF's music. I'm like, is this like a little prelude? Because I honestly didn't think that the match was going to go on. But the match went on, and the match went on for 45 minutes. And I loved every single minute of it. I loved every single minute of it. The fighting, the back and forth was great. It felt like old school wrestling. They were really telling a story. At one point, CM Punk hit the Pepsi plunge off the top rope. It was fucking fantastic. And then it was like right in front of me, so we got a really cool angle. And then there was another point during the match that MJF basically he beat Punk. He took the tag team rope and he choked Punk out. Or he had it around his Punk's neck at first, and basically he choked Punk out. Ref saw it, took, restarted the match, and the match went for like another 20 minutes. I actually fucked up. I told my boy Big Sexy, I was like, oh man, it was fucking bullshit. MJF won. And I was okay with MJF winning the match. I actually said if it happens, I prefer MJF to win the match because he'll get that ultimate heat. And Punk needs to lose a match, and no better person to lose a match than to MJF. I thought that MJF would be a guy to go after the world title from Hangman, but it looks like, that's going to be Adam Cole. So Punk will get his win over MJF at Revolution. MJF got his win tonight over Punk with the help of Wardlow. Now, Wardlow came out, he acted like he wasn't going to help MJF. And then he threw the weight in the ring. MJF clocked Punk with the weight. One, two, three. And that's all she wrote, baby. MJF gets the win over Punk twice in all reality. Choked him out, pinned him. Now, Revolution, there will have to be a rematch. And it will be a good match, but it won't be as good as this match. It won't be as good as this match at all. And that'll be okay. But it was a fun match. Chicago was kind of like deflated, but there's really nothing like a CM Punk match in Chicago. It's like going to a ball game. It's Blackhawks games used to be crazy. With chants and whatnot. But going to a CM Punk game or a CM Punk game, going to a CM Punk match in Chicago is like no other. Like, you lose your voice. Like, I feel like my voice is still hurt from 10 days ago. Like, that's how much you yell. You see him punk like most of the match, and then you're cheersing him the whole fucking time. But yeah, it was definitely deflating when he lost. But again, it's no big deal that he lost. It's okay. It'll set up a good rematch at Revolution. Which MJF, like, I think Wardlow might inadvertently cost MJF. And then MJF will, you know, bitch at Wardlow, and then Wardlow will fucking snap on MJF. I think Wardlow will also be in the Revolution ladder match to win that number one contender for the TNT title. So we'll have to see where these stories go. There's a lot of good stuff going on in AEW. So I got small things to bitch about. But there's a lot of good going on still. We'll flip it over to Rampage because they taped Rampage right after Dynamite. And they did it smart, I should say, because they brought out Adam Cole, and Adam Cole will always get the crowd into it with all his, you know, boom and bebe stuff. If you're in the live crowd, you're always going to be participatory in that. So Adam Cole got us back into it after CM Punk just lost. We're like, all right, cool. And then Adam Cole really just beat the shit out of Evil Uno. It was quick. It was good. It was efficient because Adam Cole needs to start getting serious and show that he's on that next level. Like, he might be undefeated, but he just lost the fucking Pockets. So he needs to show that he's the fucking man. And this is a step in the right direction. Now let's get him moving towards Hangman. TNT Championship match. I don't know why Isaiah Cassidy got the shot, but Isaiah Cassidy got the shot. Even though they lost in the tag titles last week, he gets the TNT Championship match this week. He wrestled Sister Sammy Guevara. And it was a good match. It was fun. Sammy got the win. Nothing special there. The next match, though, I found to be profounding because it's something that just doesn't happen in AEW. Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez went at it. And if you remember, Mercedes Martinez cost Thunder Rosa the TBS championship. She interfered in her match with Jade Cargill. And it was by DQ that she beat Mercedes Martinez tonight. We don't ever see disqualifications in AEW. It is so rare. So when they actually happen, it's like, oh, okay, cool. They want to tell that story again. They want to have that match again. I'm fine with that. You know, I don't want to be hypocritical because I bitch about a lot of the WWE DQs, but it's because, fuck, I mean, you're looking at like 30% of the matches are fucking big matches are DQ'd. AEW, even in the smallest matches, you know, top to bottom of the card, you're not seeing DQs and countouts, which is nice. It's different. But you got a DQ here, and again, since it's so different, it's okay. That feud will continue to have another great match. While that match was going, it was a fun match. A lot of fun. And we love Thunder Rosa. I can't wait. On Saturday, we are going, the wife and I, we're going to Warrior Wrestling. They're having a big show. Thunder Rosa is wrestling in the main event against Athena for the women, the Warrior Wrestling Women's Championship. Say that 10 times. She'll be wrestling Athena for that title. And the Athena is the former Ember Moon from WWE, so that'll be awesome. And then the main event of this show was a fucking banger of a match. Ricky Starks defended his FTW championship against Jay Lethal. Ricky got the win, of course. Jay Lethal showed out, though. It was a fucking really good match. And that was it. Those were the shows. They also taped Dark before Dynamite. And that was cool because we love the Gun Club in this house. We got some merch in here. They wrote out a sign to us because we're naming our kid Colton. They said they wrote one to Colton. They all signed it. Super fucking cool. We love the Gun Club, not the Ass Boys. And they teamed with the Acclaimed, which was cool because, you know, anytime you can see the Acclaimed live, the Acclaimed are awesome. And they were fucking flowing hard. As they do. Max Caster had a good fucking, what is that? Good flow. A good, he had a couple of good verses. He spit well. And then they wrestled a good young, fun team. It was Matt Sydal, Lee Johnson, Lee Moriarty, and Brock Anderson. So that was a fun match to start the show. And that was all. That was our experience with AEW Dynamite and Rampage at the Wintrust Arena last Wednesday. And yeah, Warrior Wrestling this week. Can't fucking wait for Warrior Wrestling this week. The Briscoes are going to be there. The Acclaimed are going to be there. The Workhorsemen are going to be there. Sam Adonis will be wrestling the former Lince Dorado for the Lucha or the Warrior Wrestling Lucha Championship. And it'll be fucking a lot of fun. So it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. It really is. And we got WWE's got Elimination Chamber coming up in Saudi here in 2 weeks. I will definitely be doing a preview show for that. I'll be hopping on with the guys from Front Face Lock and a bunch of other of our other wrestling friends, doing a little preview show for that here in the next week or so. So definitely be sure to check that out live. I'll share it when we go live. As far as some general housekeeping goes, so the Wrestling Index website is no more. We are taking the Wrestling Index podcast back over to our baby, our creation, All Everything Entertainment. And we're going to be doing sports, wrestling, and maybe some entertainment like stuff on there. Music lists, movie lists, reality TV lists and rankings, that kind of stuff, as well as just doing a bunch of wrestling and sports lists. Me and the guys do a bunch of drafts all the time. So, you know, a lot of top 10s, top 15s. So whether that's quarterbacks, running backs, point guards, shooting guards, you know, along with all the wrestling stuff that we do. I actually just released our top 20 Super Bowl of all time, the article right there. You can check it out at alleverythingentertainment.com. And we're going to start doing a bunch of live shows, and you'll see more podcasts as, you know, as the site gets back up. You know, back a year and a half ago when it was up and running, we did huge things, and I anticipate to be bigger this time and be better, because that's life. You learn, you persevere, you get motivated, determined, you dedicate yourself, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to fucking grow All Everything Entertainment, and we're going to give you guys fucking fantastic content. I'm going to be popping this Wrestling Index podcast out a couple times a week, and you're going to hear me on a sports podcast. I can't fucking wait to do that shit. So be on the lookout for all of that. Check it out, alleverythingentertainment.com. You can find the Wrestling Index podcast on all your audio platforms and on YouTube. I appreciate you guys tuning in. AEW Dynamite live and in person last Wednesday was a fucking blast. You'll catch me a little bit later this week, breaking down all of WWE, because I got a lot to talk about for WWE. Check it out. Check the website out. We'll talk to you guys soon.